presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character originally created in the motion picture The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Kara.
Various times in various countries, I've been called many things, most of which I'd rather not repeat here. But strangely enough, the one thing I've never been called is the one thing I am, a businessman. Did somebody laugh? Let me give you a little lesson in economics. All business pays in direct proportion to the amount of risk involved. The safest investment, therefore, paying the lowest return. Now, my returns are likely to be high because I'm willing to take risks. Outside the law, that's where high finance starts getting really high. High, wide, and handsome. The following little anecdote illustrates my point. It's called 5,000 Pengos and a Kiss. Now, what, you may ask, is a pengo? It is not a small black and white bird. A pengo is what they use for money in Hungary. A kiss is the same thing all over the world.
And now, Orson Welles as Harry Lime, the Third Man, in 5,000 Pengos and a Kiss.
In Hungary, various political events after the war brought about new and very strict laws concerning getting out of the country. But people have always wanted to get out of countries, even charming countries like Hungary used to be. And when they can, they'll pay well for certain risky arrangements being made for them. So inevitably, I found myself in Budapest, where I soon made certain necessary contacts, and then, like any good businessman, went looking for customers, which, as in any business, are often found in the nicest places. That's why one evening, not long ago, I happened to be at the exclusive Club Royal in Budapest. Very lovely place, Club Royal. But not nearly so lovely as the young lady I soon noticed making her way to my table.
Pardon me, sir, but are you Harry Lime?
I beg your pardon. I don't believe we're acquainted.
No, we're not. My name is Helene Varner.
Oh, of course. Stupid of me not to have recognized the very famous and equally lovely Helene Varner.
Thank you for the compliment, but you have not answered my question. You are Harry Lime.
Miss Varner, at the risk of being tried, I must remind you that a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Won't you sit down?
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Mr. Lyme, I must get out of the country, and I understand that you could
help. My dear Miss Barnes, certainly I needn't tell you that you can't believe everything you hear, and you certainly can't repeat it in public places anyway.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize.
Yes,
I'm terribly upset. I
see that. It's my guess you've been working too hard.
No, no.
You actresses are like that. The show must go on. Never a thought of rest and relaxation, but eventually it tells on the nerves.
No, this is not a matter of work.
It's been a long time since you've had a single day away from your work, Miss Barnard.
Mr. Lyme, please. I have something much more important to discuss.
It can possibly be more important than oneself. Really, Miss Barnard, I think you need nothing so much as a quiet stroll in the park, perhaps a visit to the zoological garden.
Mr. Lyme,
and the best thing in the world for you, too. In fact, I'd be delighted to offer my services as your escort tomorrow afternoon and show you the monkey house. Zoo.
Mr. Lyme, really, I'm not in the mood to look at animals.
It is my opinion, Miss Barnard, that nothing could be more important to you right now than a visit to the monkey house tomorrow afternoon.
But what
are
you...
The monkey house, Miss Barnard, at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Good night. So it happened that the following afternoon I arrived at the monkey house adequately armed with a bag of peanuts. I've been informed by experts that monkeys are very fond of peanuts.
Looking for someone, Miss Barnard?
Oh, there you are. I hope I'm not late.
Not at all. I just drove myself. Care for some peanuts?
No, thank you. I don't like them. Couldn't we talk someplace quiet?
It's my guess, Miss Barnard, that conversations such as ours are better held with noise.
Oh, yes. I suppose you're right.
Now, that's pretty tricky, isn't it?
What is?
The way that monkey caught the peanut.
Oh, can I have your attention? I won't take long.
Miss Barnard, you have my undivided attention.
I must leave the country as soon as possible, and I was told you could arrange it for me.
You flatter me.
I've tried to get a passport many times, but they've always refused.
On what grounds?
On no grounds. My applications simply go unanswered.
For what reason?
I don't know. They simply ignore my request.
For no reason?
Very well. I tell you the story. I've been married for a number of years. My husband is in Austria.
Mm.
He's been there ever since the end of the war.
Well, he must be lonesome.
My husband?
No, that little monkey all alone in that cage over there.
My husband, he's the reason for my being refused the passport. You see, he's, well, an enemy of the current regime. They would like nothing better than to get him back here. And I'm being held as a lure. We've been apart for a long time now. And the last word I received from my husband was that he's planning to attempt a visit. But if he should even try to enter this country, I hate to think of the fate that awaits him.
Life behind bars must be unbearable. For monkeys, you understand, Miss Barnard?
I understand. But now you know my story. I must get to Austria before my husband does something rash. I understand you can make the necessary arrangements for me. So there are really only two questions I have to ask. Will you do it? And how much will it cost?
You know something?
You're
very lovely, my dear.
Will you please pay attention?
But I am paying attention. My price to anyone else would be 10,000 gold pengo. But for someone as charming as yourself, my price is 5,000 pengo. And a kiss.
5,000? But I couldn't possibly.
If someone were to open the gate of one of these cages for these monkeys, I wonder if they would stop to quibble about peanuts. 5,000 gold pengo, Miss Barnard. At the Schurplatz tomorrow midnight.
But I...
I must be running along. If you'd like to stay a while and feed the monkeys, you may have these peanuts. Personally, I can't stand monkeys. They're such greedy little fellows. Evening at midnight, I was at the Schurplatz. It's a bad night. Fine drizzle filled the air and shone on the cobblestones. I watched the square from a dark doorway, and just as the clock had struck 12, I heard in the distance footsteps. It was Helena Barnard. I stepped out and said, "Good evening."
Oh, you startled me. I was afraid you wouldn't be here. I brought the money. Here it is, all in gold pengo.
Put that away.
What? Why?
There's no place to stand around handing over large sums of money. Put the money in the right-hand pocket of your coat.
Oh, yes.
No.
Sorry.
Start walking with me. That's better. Nothing attracts a police officer as soon as a couple arguing at this time of night in a lonesome street. But keep your voice down.
Very well. I brought the money. What happens now?
Well, there's no blueprint for these things. Take each step as it arrives. Tell me, have you ever heard of the little village of Magyarovar?
Yes, I have, but I've never been there.
That's a charming little town. They tell me there's a very fine country club located nearby.
Yes, I've heard of it.
Do you think you could arrange an appearance there now?
Yes, but why there?
Magyarovar is a very convenient little village.
Convenient?
Any geography book will show you it's located quite near the border.
Oh, I see. But I could never go there without a work permit. You know, I can't leave Budapest without permission.
And the sensible thing would be to apply for a work permit, wouldn't it?
They would never approve.
Nonetheless, I suggest you apply for a work permit to go to Magyarovar.
All right, I will.
Now again, with my apologies, I'm afraid I must leave you.
But how can I get in touch with you?
Don't. I'll get in touch with you. Good night, Miss Barnard.
But wait, you've forgotten the money. I have it right here. Oh, that's strange. It's gone.
Miss Barnard, please.
I had it in this pocket, and now it's disappeared.
No, Miss Barnard, not disappeared. Just in good hands now. Good night. And because because a business such as mine can lead one in strange paths. My path the next morning led me to the Budapest Police Department, or more specifically, to the office of a certain police lieutenant who's hard at work at his desk.
Good morning, Lieutenant.
Lying? What the heck?
I thought it time I paid you a visit again.
I must ask you to be brief. What brings you here?
No, a simple matter, Lieutenant, simple matter. I'd like you to arrange a work permit for a lady of my acquaintance.
A work permit? Mm. Now, see here, Lyme. Aren't you going too far asking favors for your girlfriends? As you well know, I'm not at all satisfied with the way our arrangement has been working out. But it's 6 months now since you delivered anyone of consequence to me. And I'm beginning to wonder about this whole arrangement.
The lady's name happens to be Helen Barner.
Helen Barner? Hmm. Helen Barner's trying to leave the country, eh?
Yes, I thought I'd put it rather clearly.
Lyme, are you sure about this?
I've already been paid in full.
Wonderful, Lyme, wonderful. Just what I need. The inspector has been making my life miserable. This should keep him quiet for a while. Helen Barner, eh?
I thought she'd be pleased.
When does she want to cross the border?
Why, I haven't made any arrangements. I assumed it wasn't necessary.
Yes, but...
You always spared me that trouble in these cases.
Yes, that's true, but... Yes, this one is different. I want Helen Barner caught in the act of trying to cross the border. An example must be made.
You mean you want me to go through with this?
To the last detail.
This is no part of our agreement at all, Lieutenant. I don't mind doing what I must in order to stay in business, but I don't relish leading a victim to the guillotine, holding her head while the knife falls.
Oh, come now, Lyme, you're being dramatic. If our arrangement is to continue, I must have a major public arrest. You have no choice.
Well, I don't like it.
I didn't ask you what you liked. We can arrange it so that you will be absolutely safe. You can leave the girl at the border just before my men close in on her. But that's the way it must be.
Okay. Okay, Lieutenant. You can make your arrest at the border.
Good. I knew you'd be reasonable about this. Now, when does she want to go?
Well, nothing's been arranged. I told her to apply for a work permit to appear at the country club at Magyarova.
Good. Miss Barner will be in Magyarova by tomorrow night.
Orson Welles returns in just a moment. Now, Orson Welles, as the third man, continues with 5,000 Pingos and a Kiss.
The next night, I drove to Magyarova to see Helena Bana. Maybe it would have been simpler to have gone by railway, but experience has taught me that a car in such a case is pretty valuable. So I arrived at the country club after 9 o'clock. Helena was just finishing a number, but she saw me as soon as I came into the room, and she hurried over to me.
I'm glad you've come. I was afraid it wouldn't be tonight.
If I hadn't come tonight, I wouldn't have come at all.
I don't understand.
The arrangements have been made. We leave immediately.
What, tonight?
Yes.
Now?
Listen carefully. I have my car outside. We drive to the first barrier near the border, the barbed wire.
How will they get through?
Arrangements have been made. At a certain place, the wire has been cut. I'll take you through. Border lies a short distance beyond at the beginning of the forest.
I see very well. I'll get my coat, and we can go.
Now, slowly. Mustn't lose our heads.
But I'm quite calm. Really, I am.
I'm not calm enough. If we walked out that door, the club management would have the entire police department down on us before we got 100 feet.
Oh, that's right. But how can I leave?
You leave me now. Go directly to the ladies' room.
Yes.
When you're alone in there, climb out through the back window.
Climb?
Yes, I hate to sound melodramatic, old girl. It's the only way. By the time you do that, I'll be waiting behind the building with my car. I'll see you there.
Very well. Yeah? I'll see you later.
I watched her go. She was obviously afraid, but still had courage. I waited until she'd crossed the room and gone out the corridor that led to the ladies' room. Then I turned and started for the front door. But I hadn't gone very far when...
Lyme!
What the dickens?
Lyme, I must see you.
Not here, you fool. Outside, well, can't see as quick. Yes, we can talk here now. What's happened?
Did you bother to get her story before you went into
the... Of course.
Yes, there are a few little matters you missed.
Like what?
Like the fact that before she approached you, she had been dickering for some time with Cerna.
Cerna?
Yes, she came to you only when his price was...
How do you know?
When Cerna learned she had made a deal with you, he wanted his revenge. He went direct to the inspector and told him everything.
Where did you hear this?
Oh, from the inspector. Where else? He's in town and he wants an arrest made for certain.
Oh, well, there's no problem. You were planning an arrest anyway.
No problem for me, but it may be for you. The inspector wants a double arrest.
What do you mean, double?
He will settle for nothing less than the girl and you.
Oh, I see. That does complicate matters well. Well, I must go back to Budapest. The attempt will not be made tonight.
No, you don't.
Don't what?
Don't leave me in this fix. If no attempt is made tonight, the inspector will know just where the weak link is, and then we're both in the soup.
Well, there's only one thing we can do. The girl will attempt to cross the border.
How?
I'll take it through the barbed wire. No further. I'll turn back. She'll go on alone. It's up to you to see that the arrest is made in the forest.
I see, but
at the border itself.
But the inspector knows you're in on this. He wants you even more than the girl.
Dear Lieutenant, he may want me, but he's going to have to do without me. He'll have to settle for the girl.
He'll know.
I don't care what he knows. This is the only way. After all, Helena Barna is still a big catch for an ambitious man. If I happen to escape in the darkness, who's to blame? Your neck is safe. Inspector has his little triumph, and I... Well, somebody once said he who runs away will have to fight another day.
I don't like this.
I didn't say you would like it, but you'll have to accept it. Now, Lieutenant, if you'll excuse me, I have to go to the ladies' room. It is the unforeseen contingencies that are the most tricky. Now, who could have known that a distraught young lady, anxious to leave the country, had first approached my rivals, and that in revenge they would have gone to our mutual enemy, the police? However, hesitation in my line of work can be fatal. I proceeded as if nothing had happened and met the girl at the rear of the country club. We were soon in my car, driving down a back road until we came to the barbed wire, the last barrier before the border.
Is this the place?
Yes. Now, follow me. Be careful.
All right.
Now keep going. We're almost there, just a few feet more.
Help me. I can't walk.
Put your arm over my shoulder. That's it. Look out for this last row. There. You're through. Good, the worst is over. The border lies 100 meters across that field. Immediately inside that forest. Perhaps someday we'll meet again, but now I'll say goodbye.
Goodbye? But we're not at the border yet.
You have no problem. There are no further obstacles ahead.
But you can't go now. You agreed to take me across the border.
This is no time for technicalities, honey. You are substantially at the border, and I must turn back. It'll take me some time to get through the wire again. The Border Patrol and I are not on the very best of terms.
You agreed to take me to the border.
I'm not going to. I'm afraid I must be firm.
I'm afraid we will be firmer.
We?
Myself? And this gun. I mean business.
There's something I forgot to tell you. The patrol I spoke of is waiting for you directly ahead.
What?
You approached Zerma before you came to me, didn't you?
Yes.
Mr. Zerma is a very greedy man. He was very reluctant to lose your account to me. He went directly to the inspector of police.
I don't believe it.
How else would I know?
But why'd you tell me? I could kill you for
it. You could, but a gunshot would bring the patrol out on the... Look! There they are now!
Where?
No place.
Oh.
Give me that gun.
No, don't. Let go.
That's better. Now get up. I said get up.
I knew it was a trick.
It happens this was not a trick. I told you the truth because I had to. Now I'm turning back. Sorry it had been so rough. There's nothing else for me to do. You have to get to the border the best you can. Austria's directly ahead of the west. Czechoslovakia is in that direction, north. You have your choice. Guess the patrol to be in that clump of trees somewhere over there. Now, Miss Barnum, my regrets that our association ends on such an unpleasant note. Wait, come to think of it, it needn't end on such an unpleasant note at all. I just remembered. I haven't been paid in full.
What?
My price for this service was 5,000 gold pengu and a kiss. A pengu you were kind enough to give me. have yet to receive the rest of it.
No.
The kiss.
You must be crazy.
A bargain is a bargain, Miss Varner.
Out! Who's there?
The patrol. The patrol.
Oh, let's run. For what? We're trapped.
No. Too late for that. Don't move. Don't move. I know where we are. Stand perfectly still. I have your gun. I'll hide behind that boulder. You cry out for me to attract their attention. When their attention is on you, I'll come out and cover them.
It's a lie.
I have no time for lies now. They want me even more than they do you. Do as I say now. Our lives depend on it.
All right. But if this is another trick, Harold Lyme, so help me, I'll see that it's not lost.
It's no trick. It's no trick. We're on the same team now, whether we like it or not. As soon as I get behind that boulder, cry out for me. Use my name.
All right.
All right.
Harry Lyme! Harry Lyme, come back!
Over there!
Who's there? Be quiet! Halt! Don't move!
Lyme, come back! Come back!
Don't shoot me!
You there. Put your hands in the air. It's the woman. Keep her covered. All right.
Well, the famous and lovely Helena Barma. Little did I expect to meet you under these circumstances. Where's Harry Lyme?
I don't know.
You must know. I heard you call him.
I tell you, I don't know.
You two men, quickly, in that direction.
Yes, Inspector.
You, follow the wire in the other direction. He can't have gone far. Miss Barna, where is he?
I don't know.
You must know, and if you know what's good for you, you'll tell me where Harry Lyme is.
Did you call me, Inspector? Don't turn around, Inspector. Yes, this is a gun you feel in your back.
Lyme!
One move, Lieutenant, and you have a dead inspector on your hands. Tell your men to throw their guns on the ground.
Lyme, you'll hang for this.
I'll worry about my neck. You worry about yours. I want those guns on the ground, quick. I'm a desperate man, Inspector.
You've armed yourself.
Yes, Inspector.
Good. You head to the Austrian border, quickly, before the other men return.
Hadn't you better come with me?
I'm afraid not. The Austrian police think no more highly of me these days than does the inspector right now.
But I hate to leave you like this.
I appreciate your consideration and loyalty, but this is no time for etiquette. Every moment counts. Goodbye. Good luck.
Well, all right, I'll go. But here's the rest of my bargain. The kiss I promised. Thank you. And goodbye.
You're welcome.
Lyme, you'll regret this.
Inspector, I will regret it in Czechoslovakia. In the meantime, I have an attractive business deal for you. On the other side of your barbed wire, I unfortunately will leave an expensive automobile, of which I'm quite fond. Would you be interested in buying it?
Are you out of your mind?
Not at all. I'll take whatever you happen to have on you in return to the car.
Lyme, for the last time,
Inspector, I said I'll take whatever cash you have on you. My liquid assets are all in Budapest, and I'll need whatever money I can obtain. Give it to me, please.
Perhaps we'd best do as he says, Inspector.
All right. Lyme, here you are.
Not very much. Lieutenant, perhaps you'd care to contribute to the inspector's purchase. Any contribution will be gratefully received. Quickly.
Here you are.
Still not very much, but then this isn't exactly a seller's market, is it? The car is yours, Inspector. And now, will both of you please do me the favor of giving me your trouser belt?
What?
You heard me correctly. Your trouser belts. Take them off, please. When you return to Budapest and ransack my quarters, you will, I'm sorry to say, find enough money of mine to buy yourself and the entire police force new belts and suspenders for the rest of your lives. Now, I'm afraid I must remind you that I'm holding a gun. Your trousers belt, gentlemen, and make it quick.
What kind of madness is this?
Lieutenant, really, is it necessary to explain? You're a scholar, aren't you?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, old man, in all the famous chases in history, no policeman has ever been known to catch a fugitive and hold up his pants at the same time. Thanks. Goodbye for now.
Lyme returns in just a moment.
Thank you.
And now, Harry Lime.
I got to Czechoslovakia with nothing worse than a slight attack of poison ivy. Helena Bader made it all right, too. But of course, you know that. She left Prague before the communists took over, and the rest is history. I don't mean about the communists. I mean Helen. She made her first big hit in Paris, and then came London. I saw her last in the Persian room at the Plaza in New York. She was killing the people. I caught her eye when she came out for a fifth encore, and I thought I noticed a little flicker of recognition. She told the audience she'd only sing one more song, but she was dedicating it to an old friend whom she'd known in dangerous times on the other side of the Atlantic. I figured I was the old friend. And you can imagine how grateful I was when Helen broke into the opening strains of "I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you." Just proves you can never trust a woman.